situation. I put in your notes a little audit there, a word audit, and I want you to fill out what you grew up in. And so, word audit. You know, in one end we have life taking words to others, and then the other one is life giving words to others, in a scale from 1 through 10. Where were you? Where are you when you're at the most stressed situation? What do you tend to do? Do you tend to go to the negative? Do you tend to say, man, that just, I don't like him, I don't like her, you know, I don't like the way they do this, I don't like the way they do that, you know, I hate my job, I hate, you know, my relationship, they're always messing up, I hate, you know, my church, maybe it's not your church, you know, like the pastor, you know, he just doesn't get it, you know, what is it? Where do you gravitate towards? Is it life-taking or life-giving words? What do you do? What do you find yourself most often doing? How about life-taking words to yourself, or life-giving words to yourself? You know that little voice, the inner talk? What's that like from 1 to 10? Are you normally like thinking in your heart of hearts, I can do this, Christ strengthens me, man, I know this is tough, but Jesus, man, he's going to show up and it's going to be great? Or you're like, man, this just stings. This is a ship going to nowhere. This is going to be awful. It's not going to work. It's always going to be problematic. Or you're more in the middle, you know, you just don't think, you don't say anything to yourself. Where are you? Where are you? Because the reality is that like you and me, if you struggle with any of these, if you didn't get a 10-10, which I would be very surprised if any one of you said 10-10. I'd be very surprised if any one of you said 10-10. If you put a 10 in there, then let's talk, because I bet you there's somebody you've offended somewhere, sometime, you know. Let me talk to your kids, you know, about your words. There shouldn't have been anybody that put a 10-10, because at some point or another, we have said something we regretted. At some point, we said something to ourselves with somebody else that we wished that we could take back, but we can't. Well, guess what? There's hope. There's hope. Let me give you 3 rules, and by rules, I don't mean 3 commandments. It's not Jesse commandments, you know. It's not like, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying, you know. 3 suggestions, 3 rules, 3 ways, 3 life-giving thoughts that you could implement into your life. And this is the first one. If you can't say something helpful, skip it. If you can't say something helpful, skip it. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. And this is Paul talking. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That it may benefit those who listen. So here Paul is saying, it's like, hey, Don't say it. Don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth if it's not helpful. If it's not helpful. That's why, if you can't say something helpful, skip it. Let me give you some examples. I'm going to pick on men first. So, you know, you've been working all day. You're tired because you've been working a lot of hours, overtime maybe. And you're coming home, you're extremely tired. You're just exhausted. And your wife, guess what? She's been working too. And even though, you know, you're thinking, I don't know, she couldn't pull the weight that I do. Well, she's been working too, right? And you get home, and she's been working. She gets home, and you all have kids. And, you know, well, some of you, you know, have kids. And so you come in, and you see a plate of food in front of you. And you're like, all right, let's eat, right? And you get together, you're eating, and she asks you, what you think? And you're looking, you're thinking, which is, by the way, don't be thinking. Just, you start thinking, and that's probably your first mistake. You start thinking, and you start thinking about your mom's food, right? You're like, and you have the thought, and we're men, so sometimes what we say, we should have given more thought, and so it just comes out of your mouth. You're like, well, mom used to make it not as salty. Have you been there? You've said that, and you're like, oh boy. And once it comes out, maybe you're ignorant, and you already know. She's looking at you like the horns are coming out. The tail in front of you is just coming out in the pitchfork. And you're like, what happened? What did I do? You said something you shouldn't have said. You should have skipped it. It's an example. I know it's an extreme example. It's a skip it. Let me give you, man, don't do, or a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. If you have something good, say it. How many times do we have something good to say and we don't say it because we think, well, I don't want him or her to now start thinking they're the sharpest tool in the shed and thinking they have a big head now. It's not what it says. Like, it's optional. It doesn't say it's optional. It says, just say it. Man, when you think something good about your wife, say it. Say it. And I've heard this illustration of a guy who had been married for 14 years with his wife. You know, he was a kind of macho kind of guy. You know, he was a real tough guy kind of guy. And so his wife looks at him and says, honey, do you love me? And he looks at her and says, honey, when we got married, I said I love you. And that's it. What do I have to do? But how much time do we do that, man? We think the thought and we don't say it. And all the while, our wives are like, will you just say it? Will you just say how beautiful you think I am? Will you just say to me, you complete me? Aw, see, man, right now, write it down. Write it down. You see, you saw, hint, hint, you know? Right? Just longing for that. It says here, pleasant words. It doesn't say pleasant thoughts. Pleasant words. And women, your husband is waiting for the time that you would honor him in front of people. And that you would say, introduce your husband this way. This is Paco or Johnny or whatever, Jojo, or, this is my hunk of man right here. Let me introduce you to him, right? This is the guy, he just wrestled, this weekend a chicken, whatever, a calf. He was just out there, with his rodeo buddies, and he just got that lasso, and he got that calf, and he brought it down, and he was sweating, and he was so manly. They're not saying in women, but they're waiting for you to acknowledge in them the man that they have deep within them. That is Mr. 6'8", They're waiting for you to say, honey, and you have to do the touch too. They're waiting for you to go to them and touch their muscles and say, honey, you're so muscular. You protect me at night, and I'm so glad you're here with me, my mega man. Because you gotta have a word, your phrase, like my mega man. And it's gotta be a manly phrase too, it can't be my cuddle butt. It's gotta be like manly. If you think something good, say it. This past weekend, I was sick as a dog, just sick. And when I'm sick, I complain quite a bit. But Marisa, she's sleeping every 3 hours because Zoe hasn't figured out that it's not convenient for us for her to wake every 3 hours. And so I'm waiting for the day for her to, just kind of do it, And I kept my complainings to a minimum. And so 2 days I was, just sweating and just feeling real sick and with all this allergen stuff coming in to Gonzalez. And man, by the end of the second day, I was thinking to myself, just seeing her routine, feeding Zoe and doing everything else she does and stuff. And at the end of the second day, I looked at her and I was thinking in my head, I couldn't do this. Like, I couldn't do this. And in my head, I was thinking, tomorrow, I'm definitely going to work. I don't care if I'm sick because I just feel guilty just being at home, seeing her at everything she's doing. And I thought it, and then I looked at her and I said, Marisa, you're my hero. I don't know how you do this. Like, wow, you do so much. You do so much, and thank you for doing all this. And it came from a sincere place in my heart, you know? And you should have seen her. Just all of a sudden, she was in cloud nine, just feeling like she was on top of the world. Because if you think it, you got to say it. You got to say it, because your words have power. They have power. It has the power of life and death. You can bring life into your relationship. This week, Ziana wrote a little story, and I'm going to read it to you just real quickly. And she's 7 years old, and it says, "The Superboy." The Superboy. And it says this. It says, "Once there was a boy, he had superpower. He used them to defeat evil. He was very nice. He helped people. He loved to help. He was very sweet to others. Once there was an evil person. He never liked the super person. He was so evil, he made messes." It's a seven-year-old. And that's the substance of evil for a seven-year-old is leaving your toys all over the place, you know? "He made messes." I don't know if she had the boys in mind or what. "He made messes everywhere. He did not like anything good. One day, the good boy defeated the evil." It's got a little stick figure guy with a little cape and stuff. And at the end it says, "Made by Ziana." So she made this. And, I mean, it has a plot line. I mean, it's like it has a beginning. You know, there's the tension in the story. And then there's the defeat of the evil guy. And I was pretty amazed and surprised by it, you know, to be honest with you. And Marisa and I heard it when she shared it with us. And I told her this. I said, "Ziana," I sat her down and I just looked at her straight in the eye. I said, "Ziana, this is just awesome. Like, this is so good. Like, this is, I mean, you could, who knows, maybe in the future you could be writing books, you know? Like, this is just, like, this is beyond your age. This is just, I mean, this is awesome. This is great. I'm very proud of you. And now we're definitely gonna keep this one." And so, day number two, the second day afterwards, she comes with another story. I'm like, oh boy, what did I start? Because now she's expecting for me to, you know, keep all of those stories. But my point here is that all it took was an affirmation of me saying, "This is so good." And it didn't come from a place of let me manipulate or anything. And she just felt she was on top of the world. If you think something good, say it. Don't rob someone of that blessing. How you make others feel about themselves says a lot about you. Think about that one the next time you're interacting with people. How people feel about themselves when they're interacting with you says a lot about you, says a lot about me. Number three, if you start saying something toxic, flip it. If you start saying something toxic, flip it. Just like you flip a switch. This is not just when you're interacting with people. What I mean with this point, this is when you're hearing that talk deep within you. When you hear that talk deep within you and it goes negative, flip it. David, for example, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. We see David. David is running. He's not king yet. He's running for his life. People are really upset at him at this point. A lot of people are upset at him. They want to stone him at this point. And he is just running for his life. And so he's not doing all too shabby with his relationships at this point. And this is what he says. And I like the way the King James Version writes it. It says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Why would he do that? We don't know what he told himself, but he encouraged himself. And I almost wonder, this is speculative, but I almost wonder if he was saying, I'm going to trust in God because guess what? I'm going to be king. God said I would be king, and maybe I'm scared that I'm going to be killed, but the truth of the matter is that I'm not going to be killed because God said I'm going to be king. And he's encouraging himself with these words. And that should be the same case with you. Then when you get to those moments in life when you're struggling and you're saying, I'm not good enough, you're going to pause for just a moment and just say to yourself, wait a minute, I can accomplish much in Christ. When you hear the words, I can't do this, you self-talk and curse yourself and say, I can do anything that I put my mind to that God helps me with. You flip it. Instead of saying in your relationship with your spouse, this isn't going to work, this is beyond repair, you say to yourself, this will work because Christ will get into this. This can work by the power of Christ. Instead of saying to about your kids, this is no hope, I don't know what's going to happen, you say, no, Christ can do it. He can do it. Habakkuk had a similar situation in Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk starts getting into this self-pity talk. Everything is going bad. The economy is bad. It's just miserable out there. I'm not doing real good. And all of a sudden, he catches himself. He catches himself. And he flips it. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. In other words, I can get stable. He enables me to go on the heights. Another way of saying that is, he enables me to have victory. What are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself? Is it toxic words? Or is it encouraging words? It's interesting. Charlie was telling me this. He went to the doctor. And as he went to the doctor, he saw this dirty truck full of dust. And you could tell it hadn't been washed. And he looked to the